It's always a pleasure to chat with Dean Pagani, Senior Vice President, McDowell Jewett Communications, and a multimedia journalist. Of course, he did work in politics, very familiar with the landscape. Dean, welcome to CT on the Hill.
Good morning, Dan.
Now, you, of course, and we've interviewed you before on Brad and Dan about your thoughts about Donald Trump, the Donald Trump presidency, and now E.J. Dion Jr., Washington Post opinion writer, had a piece the other day. In fact, I'm going to read the first paragraph of his piece. He writes, "Let's not mumble or whisper about the central issue facing our country. What is this democratic nation to do when the man serving as president of the United States plainly has no business being president of the United States?" So let's start there. Would you agree with that paragraph?
I think that it's increasingly clear that Donald Trump does not understand what the job of president entails. He is somebody who is used to running his own company, making all the decisions himself. He doesn't understand that government is a collaboration. Even though you're the president, which is the most powerful job in the country and the most powerful job in the world, you have to collaborate with others. You have to collaborate with your own agencies, with Congress. You have to respond professionally to what the judicial branch says in its interpretation of the laws. And it's pretty clear he doesn't understand any of that. And what's scarier to me is that he doesn't seem to have anybody around him who understands that or can tell him, how he should be behaving as president.
Well, those people who you talk about, not the people directly around him, but those he has to work with, that's the so-called establishment. And didn't he run the establishment?
You can run against the establishment, but once you get into the game, you have to play by the rules. I guess, if you were to make a sports analogy, you can try out for a team, but once you make the team, once you get the position, you have to play under a certain set of rules. You know, there's a lot of talk about the fact that the Trump administration is violating norms, expected norms of behavior. This is a crucial point and not to be taken lightly. There are reasons that we have norms of human behavior and norms of government behavior and things that we expect of a president. It's because over the years, it's been proven to work that way.
Well, and I guess that's where people get confused. You know, I get a lot of calls from Trump supporters on this program, but he ran against the establishment, but what you're saying is now that he's in there, he needs to conform to the establishment. Isn't that how I interpret what you're saying?
He needs to play by the rules of the game. In other words, when you invited me on this show, Dan, I understand that there are certain expectations. I wouldn't come on your program and start using foul language and swear words because I understand your show has certain standards. And similarly in government, when you're dealing with Congress, when you're dealing with agencies that have very specific missions and expertise that you don't have as president, you have to be able to work with these different organizations to get anything accomplished. You can come in as an outsider and try to shake things up and change everything and respond to what your voters expect when they put you in office, but you still have to play by a certain set of rules. And what Donald Trump is showing is he has no ability to do that, no understanding. He doesn't seem to have any desire to figure out how the system works.
Okay, so in other words, you can run against the establishment and, as you say, shake things up, but there's still a certain amount of confirmation that you must partake in. Is that right?
Yeah. The president is not the king. The president is not a dictator. As one of his spokesmen pointed out this weekend, there are three co-equal branches of government. You can go in there and you can be the leader. You can say, this is what I think is important and this is the direction I think we should be going in, and this is the direction that I'm going to try to take this country and try to build support from that. But you can't just sit in the White House and sign an executive order and expect the whole world to follow you. It's just not the way it works. Somebody once told me that a leader is not, it's someone who points in a direction and then convinces everybody that that's the right direction to go in. It's not enough just to say, this is what we're going to do, or just do what I say. You've got to convince everybody to come along.
Well, the other thing is, let's presume that Trump was more diplomatic in his role of trying to shake things up. Wouldn't he still run into a lot of static from the bureaucracy, even if he took a more diplomatic approach in shaking things up?
That's very likely, but I would say that the approach he's taking now is going to present him with nothing but a stone wall. Mm-hmm. You can drag people along slowly, or you can take a initial position that's so offensive that they just dig in their heels and do nothing to help you.
Does Trump survive this presidency? Does he make it through the 4 years?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think that the odds are on his side because it's very difficult to remove a president. However, if he does something particularly that hurts us on the world stage in some way, I could see him running into trouble. I mean, it's notable that we're only a month into the administration, and Republicans on Capitol Hill are already calling for investigations into certain aspects of the administration. You would think that Republicans would do everything they could to avoid that, but already Trump has taken certain steps that have put Republicans on Capitol Hill in a position where they feel they can't ignore this, they have to investigate it.
Well, let's look at the Michael Flynn situation for just a moment,
yeah.
Or as E.J. Dion Jr. writes, the Michael Flynn fiasco, where this taped telephone conversation was leaked, but just parts of it. Why not just let the whole telephone conversation out there to the public?
I don't know. Perhaps at some point it will be let out. Obviously what we know so far is the result of leaks. I can't answer the question. I don't know why the news organizations that have access to these transcripts haven't printed the whole transcript. Maybe it's because printing the whole transcript would reveal their source or something like that. I think the more troubling aspect of the Flynn story is the fact that the vice president was kept out of the loop. Not only that, he was sent out to tell untruths, to lie, on behalf of Michael Flynn. The problem there is it shows that inside the White House there are these factions, and some of these factions are willing to keep very important information away from the vice president or give people like the vice president or the White House spokesman false information and send them out in public and use that information as if it's the truth. That's a huge problem.
But is it all that unusual for a president to keep the vice president out of the loop?
I would say that it's not necessarily unusual. What is unusual is to give him false information and send him out there to use that information as if it's the truth. That's huge because that's playing on the vice president's reputation. You know, Mike Pence has been in Congress. He's been the governor of Indiana. Now he's vice president. He has his own public reputation at stake. The only reason he is vice president is because he put in time in Congress and put in time as governor and built a public record. And now that public record has been put at risk because the president was willing to let him go out in public and say things he knew weren't true.
Now, you mentioned the people directly around Trump. You were a chief of staff for Governor Rowland. What is the responsibility for a chief of staff for the President of the United States?
The responsibility is to act as an honest broker of information, to gather all the information about all the issues in front of the governor or the president and bring it to him in an impartial way and give the best advice you can on what direction you think the president ought to take. And then when the president makes a decision, make sure that that decision is carried out. And this means that you have to say very difficult things. You have to say things to the president that the president doesn't want to hear. If there's a reason that most chiefs of staff only last 2 or 3 years, it's because at a certain point, the president is tired of working with you, because if you're doing your job, you're constantly telling him things several times a day, things he does not want to hear, and trying to get him to do the right thing, make the right decision.
So how does the chief of staff walk the line from being the one who's directly giving this information to the president and, by the same token, having to deal with other people who perhaps are always trying to feed the president information around the back of the chief of staff?
Well, that's why it's very important to have a chain of command and to have, even if you don't have a chain of command, at least an understanding between the president and the chief of staff that you're going to be the last person that he talks to before he makes a decision, so that you can review everything he's been told by people who may have gone around your back in some way, and make sure that he has the full picture. Make sure that he understands the inherent bias that somebody coming from another agency or another part of government might have.
Now, I'll play devil's advocate here, because there are those who would say that's really putting a lot of power into the hands of a chief of staff who was not elected to the job of president.
Well, I think going back to Eisenhower, I think Eisenhower is the first person who had somebody who actually had the title chief of staff. And someone has to play that role. I think that in the Obama administration, Vice President Biden supposedly had that kind of relationship. In other words, he was the last person the president spoke to before the president made his decision, and he kind of played the role of super chief of staff in that respect. But, you know, the U.S. government, the White House, the responsibility of the job of the president is so big, I think it's very difficult for one person to do it all by themselves. So the role of chief of staff, or whatever the person's title might be, is to help keep it all in line for the president and manage it so he can make good decisions.
How much of these stories are also the fact that Trump, whether the news media likes him or not, we know that many in the news media do not like him, that Trump just drives the news cycle, that he gets ratings? I mean, you've got over-the-air networks now interrupting their soap operas to carry joint news conferences between Trump and a world leader, whether it be Netanyahu or the prime minister from Canada. I mean, Trump drives, he's getting ratings for these news networks, for the over-the-air networks, for websites. It's Trump, Trump, Trump. How much is that? How much of that is driving this?
I can't answer the question because I'm not inside any of the networks or the news organizations. I think that there are lots of news organizations out there. I'm thinking of the traditional big news organizations like the New York Times and the Washington Post, who think it's their job to cover every single moment of the Trump administration, every move that happens. As for the broadcast networks, I think that some of the leaders of broadcast networks and cable networks admitted during the campaign that one of the reasons they covered Trump the way they did is because it helped ratings. I don't know if the decision about carrying daytime news conferences has to do with ratings or news judgment or some combination of both. But I think that it's a good thing overall, because I think the American people deserve to know what's going on. What's going on right now, the Trump administration, is not what we are used to coming from our U.S. government or from the White House, and I think that that's newsworthy.
All right. Dean, as always, very educational. Thanks for spending some time with us, and we will talk again down the road.
Thanks a lot, Dan.